My name is Jacqueline Goldis, and my book is called The Main Character.
When writing her novel, The Main Character, Jacqueline Goldis was inspired in part by her own father's experience growing up as a Jew in the Soviet Union. But she was also inspired by Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. So she reimagined a whodunit murder mystery aboard the same train. In Goldis' story, an eccentric mystery writer selects a woman named Rory to serve as the main character of her upcoming novel. The writer gifts this main character with a lavish trip through Italy. But things get strange when Rory unexpectedly encounters her closest family and friends on the same train and is faced with unanswered questions that could lead to a deadly end. I recently spoke with Jacqueline Goldis about her love of mysteries, how she plots her stories, and how she transitioned into writing after a career in economics and law. From KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network, this is Marginalia. I'm Beth Golay, and here's my conversation with Jacqueline Goldis. This book is full of plot twists and turns, so to avoid any spoilers, I'm going to ask you, how would you describe this book to our listeners?
Sure. Well, it's about a reclusive, mysterious author named Ginevra X, who has this unique way of writing her big bestsellers. She hires real people to be her main characters, and she pays them a lot of money and interviews them and investigates them and then fictionalizes their lives. And so her latest main character is a girl named Rory. And Ginevra gifts Rory a all-expenses-paid trip on the Orient Express down the western coast of Italy. And Rory's so excited, but then she steps on the train and she's shocked to see these people she knows. So her brother is there, her best friend, and her ex-fiance, and they've all been invited by Ginevra and they're all hiding secrets. And so with each stop, the train rolls down through Cinque Terre and Rome and Positano, but it becomes increasingly clear that Ginevra has plotted this real life twisty trip with Rory as her real life main character. And as the lies and deceptions of everyone on the trip and Ginevra kind of pile up, Rory starts to fear that the trip's going to end like one of Ginevra's books with a murder or two. And so it's up to her to figure out why Ginevra wanted them all aboard and to what deadly end.
So, of course, we have to talk about Agatha Christie and the Orient Express. So has Christie's writing inspired your own?
For sure. I adore her as, you know, do millions of people. I came to her later in life. I didn't read her younger. Maybe like 10 or so years ago, it's ridiculous to say discovered her, but I just didn't read her like when I was younger. And so I just ravaged, tore through all her books and I became quite the mystery fiend. You know, I read Nancy Drew as a kid, but kind of was introduced to Agatha Christie. And then from there, I just have devoured mysteries ever since.
So the concept of a main character is prevalent in pop culture, and I'm thinking of main character energy. So Rory is selected as Ginevra's main character, but the chapters alternate between perspectives. So is each character the main character in a way?
Yeah, I think I played with the concept of main character a bit because what you said, I think is true, that there's so much conversation around main character energy. And I was thinking of main character more of who's writing the script for this main character. Or, you know, is the person writing their own script or is there sort of an unseen script they're following, maybe consciously, maybe subconsciously? And that was more what I was playing with.
I guess one of the reasons I'm asking is because this line captured my attention. It was common sentiment that an author's first main character most acutely resembles herself. So is this true for you as an author? And who do you consider the main character of this book?
Well, it's definitely true for me. I wrote my first book when I was 17. And for sure, I think there was a little difference between me and the main character of that book. And I think my first book that was published has the main character has the most similarities with me. I think now my characters have, you know, they certainly all have bits and pieces of me, but I wouldn't say any of them is, you know, close to me. In terms of who is the main character of the book, I think it's a good question. I don't think there is one. I think they're all main characters of their own stories. And all operating according to some scripts that they're not aware of. And I think that's interesting.
So the fictional author in the book, Ginevra, commented a few times about, you know, the different ways we make ourselves disappear or how one can lose themselves in pages. Can you talk about this need some of us have to be removed or to remove ourselves?
Oh, for sure. You know, I think we all have certain patterns in life, and I can relate to that one, that sometimes it's, you know, easier to want to be invisible and not to have to kind of shine bright. I think that's something introverts relate to maybe more than extroverts. But yeah, I think taking up space in the world for me has been like a thing of growth. And yeah, I relate to it.
So part of what initially appealed to me about this book was the lavish setting, you know, an opulent train ride that's reminiscent of another age altogether. And I mean, while I love traveling on Amtrak, it's a far cry from what you described on the Orient Express. Was writing this book sort of an escape for you? And what kind of research did you have to do to write this?
Yeah, I think for me as a reader and a writer, I love armchair traveling. I mean, I love traveling in general in life, but I think it's so fun to do it in the pages of a book. And pretty much all my books start with setting. So yeah, I think it's so fun to escape into a life of opulence that's sort of outside of your own and an international destination that's not yours. In terms of the research, I haven't been on the Orient Express train, and I invented this route in Italy because, you know, normally the Orient Express travels from one destination to another, like actually transporting passengers, like specifically who want to get to another destination. But I kind of thought, well, why can't this train trip be more like a cruise ship where they're getting off at certain stops? And so I thought that would be fun. And I love the western coast of Italy. So for me, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have them go down that coast. And so there was some invention there, but the Orient Express has an amazing Instagram page, YouTube. I mean, we're so fortunate in this day and age. I don't know how people wrote books 30 years ago because, or at least one set outside of the place they live, because it's so much easier to do research now. And I wouldn't have said it in a place I hadn't been to. So I've been to the spots in Italy I talk about, but not having been to the train, I was able to kind of do some internet sleuthing.
So I want to ask about craft, plotting a whodunit mystery. You know, talk to me about how you tackle that planning stage. Do you lay it all out so you know the twists and pivots from the start, or do you let the writing guide you?
Well, I'm definitely a plotter. I'm not a pantser. So I do. I spend like 4 months researching, thinking about like the plot and kind of letting it reveal itself. I don't know. I'm less a technical writer and more, I don't know, as a person, I'm more spiritual. So I kind of just follow the book, even though I know that sounds amorphous, but I do always know something comes to me early on. For this book, I saw the first scene and I saw the last scene. So I knew where I was starting and I knew where I was ending. And for the most part, yeah, I plot pretty faithfully. And then usually the writing follows it pretty well. For this book, there's a storyline set in the former Soviet Union, inspired a bit by my family history. And that I didn't actually know was, I knew that some of the plot points were going to happen, but I didn't know that they were going to have to do with the Soviet Union as much. And so that was something that unfolded outside my plans, but yeah.
So, you know, in your author's note, you do mention how Ansel is inspired by your father's experience in Ukraine and Soviet Union. Can you tell us about your father and his experience as a Jew in the Soviet Union?
Yeah. So my father was born in Zhytomyr, which is a small town in Ukraine, 3 hours from Kiev. His mother escaped the Holocaust, and she was on the last train out of their small hometown with her two small children. But his grandparents didn't get to leave, and so they were murdered in mass graves close by to where he grew up. And when his mom came back after the Holocaust and then had him, yeah, he was subject to a lot of anti-Semitism growing up, from calling him dirty Jew. In the Soviet Union, you had passports that said your nationality, and his said Jew. So automatically, like, it's harder to get into certain schools. In the army, he was very beaten up in the Soviet army. And discriminated against for jobs, for, I mean, for everything. It really affects you. And there was like a thing that came up in the 1970s that would allow Jews to get out if they applied to leave. But it was very dangerous to apply to leave because you could be refused. And then once you're refused, you're declared an enemy to the state. And you can lose your job. You can be exiled to Siberia. You can be jailed. And so he did. He applied to leave and he was refused. And, you know, they called him up to the stage and his work and threw dirt, like threw rotten milk and eggs on him. And anyway, he was being tailed by the KGB. Ultimately, he was allowed to leave, which was a blessing because he could have gone so many other ways. And anyway, he ended up coming to America with 26 cents. So yeah, he had quite the story before coming to America. And he really, in my eyes, is like the epitome of the American dream.
So your father's experience with anti-Semitism, you speak of, it occurred in the 60s and 70s, but anti-Semitism is not a thing of the past. You wrote in your author's note also how your grandmother couldn't speak out of fear of death, but that you can speak out through this book. What do you want readers to take away from this book?
Oh, thank you for saying that. It makes me emotional to think of that line because I wrote it before this year, which has seen such an explosion of anti-Semitism, so it couldn't feel more prescient now. And yeah, I think actually in that paragraph that I wrote about my grandmother, I said how she used to say to my father, like, shh, because she was always so afraid because, you know, in the Soviet Union, people would spy on you, neighbors would tell on neighbors, like that's just the atmosphere it was, and you couldn't practice Judaism. So they would practice it in quiet. And she would just always be so afraid. And I think it relates back to your question about hiding parts of yourself and, you know, being small. And I think that's how I feel about this book is like not hiding it, being loud and proud about the things that are important and the things I want to say. And that thankfully I live in a world where, you know, I don't have to hear shh and worry for my life. So, yeah.
I want to ask a question about you as a writer, because you have a bit of an unconventional path to becoming a published author. You studied economics and law. Can you talk about your career transition and how you found your way into writing? I mean, you mentioned earlier you wrote your first book at 17.
Yeah, you know, I always wanted to be a writer, full-time published author. I mean, that was always my dream. You know, since I was 4 years old, that was my dream. And I was always writing stories and I remember telling my parents, my grandparents, that's what I was going to do. And they were like, yeah, but you need a way to make money. And I think I understood, you know, as I got older, yes, I wasn't going to graduate college at 22 and just magically become an author and start making money. Certainly, I was writing novels. Like I said, I wrote one at 17. I wrote one again, you know, two more in my 20s. So I was always trying to get published. But I think a lot of the skill sets that go into writing are applicable to law. I think it's why you see a lot of former or current lawyers as writers. And so I ended up taking the LSATs and I did pretty well and gone to a good law school. And so I just kind of went down that path. But in the back of my mind, I knew, okay, you know, maybe this will be my part-time career. Maybe I'll be able to leave and really give a go at writing. But it was never something I was like, this is my passion. It's what I want to do for the rest of my life. But I, you know, I really enjoyed my job. It was so interesting. It taught me so much for my life as a writer. I mean, I feel like that was my MFA. I learned so much about writing from my bosses and it was great training ground. And yeah, so it's kind of it's a funny path, but eventually I decided to leave and give writing a go full time. And that's where I am now.
So what's next for you?
Well, I sold two more books to my publisher. So I'll have two more thrillers out next year and the year after. And yeah, next year, I have a book called The Safari and it's a locked room murder mystery set on a South African safari trip where a glamorous family is vacationing and there's a murder and now they're all locked in the lodge and have to investigate each other.
Well, this book is the main character. Jacqueline Goldis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Jacqueline Goldis, author of the book, The Main Character, which was published by Atria, Emily Bestler Books. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita and is part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our engineers are Mark Stasser and Torin Anderson. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen. Our producers are Haley Krausen and Katie Lanning, and our marketing coordinator is Carly Cooper. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.